Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. These days, online reviews of a small business can prove devastating and dry up business, even if the reviews are false or even just misleading. Now help is on the way through the services of companies that manage online reputations. We'll get an update in just a minute. Later on this hour, Jim Fussell from The Star drops by to talk about his new book on Tourette syndrome, a condition that Jim suffers from himself. The book, Ticked, is about a miracle, Oprah, friendship, and what the authors call the weird world of Tourette's. But first up, managing online reputations. With us today is Chris Nostov. He's the owner of KC Web Specialists. He runs a service that helps companies manage their online reputations. Chris, so good to have you. Good morning.
Thanks a lot.
And John Shoup is here. He's the owner of SciTech Automotive. That's an automotive repair business that works with Chris Nostov. He has two shops in Grandview and Raytown. John Shoup will share some stories of online reviews about his own business. And John, nice to have you too here.
Thanks for having me
on. Good morning. And if you're a local business owner who can share stories about online reviews, especially when you think bad ones were unwarranted and what you did to do about it, we'd like to hear from you. Our number is 816-235-2888, and our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. Well, Chris Nostov of KC Web Specialists, why should anybody believe anything that's written about a product or a company online? Because I guess I'm not sure that I do.
Well, I guess it kind of has to do with the mind of the consumer, and every consumer is a little bit different. And many consumers out there across the nation kind of take it as Bible or actual gold that what's been written is the truth.
And they take it as Bible. Why? Just because it's online? It's a printed word in a sense?
Yeah, and sometimes they just want to affirm their own feelings about the product or the service that they're looking into, and they've maybe heard something about it. Or, you know, for an example, I looked into replacing my chainsaw. So I had one. I was going to buy another one. I looked online and saw it for a certain price, but then I kind of glanced down at the reviews, and the reason why I was buying the chainsaw, I saw multiple reviews talking about the same thing. I mean, because I had one already and I was going to replace it. And the reviews basically confirmed what I felt about the chainsaw that I had. So it really kind of depends on the actual consumer and why they are reading the reviews.
So you believe them in some cases?
When I look at reviews, I look at the theme of the reviews.
I don't look at
individual reviews, because it's kind of, then you're basing your opinion on one review. But if you look at, like, we went to Buffalo, New York last fall, I looked at the hotel and there was one right next to the falls, but about, they had like 90 reviews. Probably half the reviews mentioned the club across the street was really loud and they couldn't get to sleep. Well, I'm a light sleeper. So that helped me make my decision. We didn't stay there, even though that price was probably, and convenience-wise, closest to it.
If you go on Amazon and you look at the reviews for a book, invariably, it seems to me, the first two or three reviews are absolutely glowing. This is the greatest book since Moby Dick, or whatever the line is. You read that over and over and over again. I don't buy any of it. It's a bunch of bunk.
Yeah, it's
staged.
Again, you kind of have to know that, I guess, up front, and go look at more than just one or two reviews. Kind of look at the theme of the reviews. I guess that would be my recommendation.
John Shoup, again, the owner of SciTech Automotive. You came out pretty well on some of the online sites I visited last night. On Yelp, there are two reviews. One begins with, "This place is awesome." And the other one called your car shop in Kansas City the best car shop in town. So who wrote those for you?
Well, I'll have to send a note of thanks to my brother. But for years we've been dealing with online, for years we've been dealing with word of mouth.
Yeah.
Every business owner will tell you that that's the most important type of advertising. But online reviews are a game changer. They differ from word of mouth in two important ways. Number one, if you have an experience at a business that you want to talk about, you're going to talk about it for 10 days, 2 weeks. And if you put a review online, that's out there forever. The second way it's different is if you had a wonderful experience at a vet and you're telling your neighbor about it and he's not in the market for a vet, then your review that you just gave really kind of falls on deaf ears. But
right.
when you're looking for online reviews, every one of those people is in the market for whatever it is this person is selling.
Mm-hmm.
So the review carries much more weight, and couple that with it being out there forever, you need to be really careful about making sure that your online reputation is what it should be.
Well, so do you fear online reviews in a certain sense?
Actually, we encourage online reviews. We actually solicit people. You know, when we they leave, we'll give them a comment card. We'll ask them to go online and review us. You can't fear online reviews, but what you can do is you can respond to online reviews. If someone puts a review out there that is just not reasonable, most review sites give the owner a chance to respond and say, well, this is what we tried to do to resolve this person's problem. And the people who read online reviews, they're not dumb. They can read the review and see that the person that made the original complaint either has a very valid point or he can see that the person's being unreasonable.
I was going to say, because you run an automotive company, the chances for you to get an occasional bad review probably are pretty good, because just in the nature of your business, it can be expensive, unexpected, unforeseen problems in a car that the owner didn't anticipate when you bring the car in.
Sure.
So I imagine you're up against it every day in that sense, right?
It can be a real problem. But one of the things I found, and this is a problem on both sides of the spectrum, in encouraging reviews, you tend to only get those people who were absolutely wowed with your service. They're then motivated to go out and post a positive review. And on the other end of the spectrum, the people who are angry with you for one reason or another, they will be likely to post a review. The vast majority in the middle, they come in, they get the service they expected. It was the price was what was quoted, and
you don't hear from them.
Yeah, you don't hear from them.
But clearly, you've been concerned enough about all of this that you hired Chris's firm, right?
Well, we monitor it every day, and Chris does a very good job at keeping track of reviews, and he notifies his customers when they have a new review, that sort of thing.
Chris, again, your company is KC Web Specialists. What do you do? What's involved in the process of helping companies like John's?
Well, the first thing is education. It's always education. The business owner needs to understand the situation. They need to understand what their online presence means and is. And so the first thing you want to do is you want to get the business owner actively involved in understanding the fact, you know, they may not use the web, they may not be savvy users, they may not be, but their customers are. So education is always first and up front. Then, you know, then we have several different strategies of working with the business depending on how they want to be involved or whether they just want to flat out just give the whole task over to us. What is the things that you do? Well, number one is you monitor your online presence. First and foremost, you set up a process for monitoring your online presence.
So anything that anybody writes about John's business, you're scanning on a regular basis.
That's correct. We're looking, you know, there's lots of ways to go about doing that, but there's a standard methodology that you can go out and keep track of what or if anybody is writing about the particular business.
And you also can work on the other end, if I understand correctly, Chris. You can help a company when folks search on Google for a certain business to make sure that John's shop pops up fairly early in that process.
Yes, that's a really an important part of managing your online reputation is put more than just the review sites up top. You need to get your website up top because the first, you know, the customer is out there looking for that particular service. You don't want them finding the review sites first. You want them finding your website first so that their impression of your company right off the bat is a really good impression. And then if the consumer is such that they want to read reviews, then they'll start digging into the review sites and seeing what people have written about you. And then there's services that you can do. There's things that you can do. And we've got a whole series of steps on our website that talks about what should you do to manage your online presence. And
okay, that's my next question. Let's just say, by chance, someone has an unhappy experience at one of John's shops, as rare as that might be. What do you do? How do you engage? What's the next step?
Well, the first thing you try to do is you try to take the emotion out of it. as a business owner, it really bothers us when somebody writes something bad about it, and you get really defensive. And so you try to calm, you know, it's like we try to tell people, just calm down. All right. Just
so the first thing is to get John to relax and, hey, let's deal with this
right
in a straightforward way.
And actually the first thing you should do is really the most difficult thing to do. And the first thing you should do is get a hold of that person and try to make it right. They may have a valid concern, but what you ultimately want to try to get them to do is, can I get you to do something? Can I do something? Can I make this right so that they remove that review? You try to make it right to the point where the customer will remove their review.
What if you don't know who the customer is?
Well, the good thing about the majority of the large review sites that are out there is the anonymity is pretty much gone. It's hard to write anonymous reviews anymore.
Is it really?
It really is. Google's done a really good job. You have to have a Google Plus account in order to write a review anymore. And so the anonymity.
Yeah, you can't set up an account and my name's not Steve Kraske anymore. It's Ted Bardenkel, you know?
Absolutely. But then you get into the whole concept of, is an anonymous review really valid? And why is the person writing the review in the first point? Is because they want to be heard. And this is, you know, this is Chris, and I want to say this about, you know, John. And so the anonymity, the larger review sites are trending towards removing the anonymity of the review sites.
And again, just to be clear, can the larger review sites ensure that it is in fact Steve Kraske who's writing the review that's the subject of debate? They really can't, right?
No, absolutely no.
Well, if I understand it correctly, many of these sites, if you can document that this person was not actually a customer and hadn't been to your place of business in a preset length of time, the review site will remove it because it could be a competitor that's trying to hurt your business.
Can you get a hold of the review site and say, hey, we have a problem with
Absolutely.
This review. We feel it's inaccurate. Who's the arbiter there? I mean, who's the judge to determine whether or not, you know, the customer was treated unfairly or, in fact, the shop screwed somebody over?
The review site will somewhat arbitrate. I mean, you can register a complaint and say this is not true, this is wrong, this is false. But they are not going to spend a great majority of time trying to find out if it's true or false. But, you know, if you can legitimately convince the review site that this is just not right, this, you know, but
And how successful can you be doing that? What's your batting average on going?
It's pretty low. It's pretty low because they basically, you know, if it's written, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings up a very important very important point that we're just now starting to hear stories about this in the media. 50 years ago, if a person was upset with a business experience, they didn't really have a forum. They could go tell their neighbors. But if they were to buy a personal ad and excoriate the business in print, someone might tell them, and with some justification, hey, you can be sued for libel. Well, until here recently, that same standard had not been applied to the internet. So,
and it is being now.
Yeah, I understand there's a case in California somewhere where a contractor got a review that was clearly not true, and he's actually taking the woman to court. So the problem can be that what you're putting on the review site is in writing, and if you are patently false, if you're trying to do damage to the business without justification, there can be consequences.
Because that could easily happen in a world, John, where there are lots of auto shops around the KC Metro, and someone wants to take you out.
Absolutely.
Or knock you down a peg, right?
Sure.
I want some of your business. I'm going to write a bad review about your shop.
Yeah. It's a real possibility, sure.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that possibility is out there. Let's just say you can find the person who's written a negative review, Chris. You get them on the phone. What happens then?
It's really, again, taking the emotion out, it's probably the hardest part of the whole thing, because you don't want to be confrontational with them, because they're upset and they're frustrated, and you just kind of basically want to say, whether you believe it or not, what they've written and whether it's right or wrong, you basically just want to, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm sorry you feel that way, and how can I make it right, as opposed to trying to say, well, that's not what happened. What happened was this, and you said this, and you said that, because then you get into just a kind of a tit for tat argument, and they're not going to be opposed, whatever, to go out there and just remove their review.
And if you do make it right, the writer of the review can remove it and remove it forever from online presence, or is it, does it linger out there somewhere
well,
in cyberspace?
That's the important thing that John was talking about. This has to be, you have to, as a business owner, be doing this nonstop. You have to be monitoring your presence, because what happens is there's lots and lots of review sites out there that scrape reviews from the larger review sites make their review site look bigger. So if you get an online review that's negative and you let it linger on one of the larger sites, there's a pretty decent chance that it was scraped by some of the other review sites that are out there. So while you remove it from the national site, it might still hang out in a local Kansas City review site because they just scraped it off the other site and copied it and pasted it into theirs. So this really is a proactive approach that business needs to be taking in monitoring their online presence because – yeah, you've convinced the customer, take it off, please. And the customer said, okay, I will. And they take it off. It might still linger on other review sites.
You know, John, I guess this is the world that we live in these days. And part of me listening to all this, I'm coming back. The idea in my head is, this is nuts. This is half of this stuff is just crazy.
It's hard to deal with. But one of the things I've found is that if you contact the customer, you can usually make it right. And when they are no longer an unhappy customer, then they can amend or remove the review.
You know, it's amazing at the newspaper when you write an article that appears and, you know, it rubs someone the wrong way and they write you in just a brutal email and say, I'm, you know, Kraske, you're nuts and all this stuff. Invariably, if you write them back in a calm tone, as you're suggesting, Chris, and say, hey, listen, now here's what the story said. You got it a little bit wrong. Here are the facts I was using. And you're diplomatic and you work. It's amazing how quickly the temperature comes down and folks say, oh, Steve, I didn't mean to say such negative things about you. I'm sorry. We had a disagreement. You work it out pretty quickly. It is amazing.
Yes, it is. But the consumer really needs to be aware nowadays that the opinion of the courts, it used to be these online sites, the consumer could pretty much write whatever they want with anonymity, with you know, blatant disregard for just about anything.
Yeah.
And it would hang out there. And you'd try to, as a business owner, you try to take them to court, and the court would go, you know, no, sorry, First Amendment, freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. Well, now the courts aren't just dismissing it. Now the courts are saying, well, I'll hear it.
Yeah.
I'll hear it at least.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about managing online reputations. We're visiting with Chris Nostoff, who's the owner of KC Web Specialists, and one of his clients, John Shoup, the owner of SciTech Automotive. If you have a question about how all of this works, or perhaps I'm wondering how much stock do you put in online reviews? And if you're a small business owner and you've been reviewed online, positively or negatively, how has it affected your business? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @kcurupto date. Mike from Shawnee, you're on the program. Mike, good morning.
Hi, Steve. Good morning. I am soundly in your corner on the healthy skepticism about these online review sites. I think everybody should be. Let me tell you, every time I get warm and fuzzy about something like Yelp, I think of all the things that my pals around the country send me, and I go to Snopes.com or go to Urban Legend. In 30 seconds, I find out it is entirely BS. and then I think about Yelp and something. I think, you know, the problem is, yes, the anonymous aspect is critical, and I understand things are changing and so forth. But I think the bigger problem is people will write something online that they would never think of saying face-to-face
yes.
to the owner of that
yes.
shop or restaurant.
Yes, absolutely.
My view, if you go to a restaurant and get bad service or bad food, you owe it to the owner of that restaurant to go up right then, go talk to them or make an appointment or tell them you'll call them tomorrow. I mean, and you also owe it to the guy who's coming to the restaurant 10 minutes from now. To fix it, don't go online and whine about something. That doesn't do anything. There's a few exceptions. One, I think, now I'm probably wrong here, but TripAdvisor's, that site seems to have so many thousands of reviews about the same thing that the preponderance of the kind of the big number theory would seem to me to say, yeah, if this thing keeps coming up as a great place to take your family, it probably is a great place to take your family. But individual reviews of small shops and restaurants bother me a lot because I just don't, I don't trust them.
Yeah, Mike, you make a great point. And Chris's point here this morning has been look for the theme in multiple reviews and sort of see what you can walk away with once you've done that. But good phone call, Mike. Thanks for making it.
All right. Thanks, Steve. See
you bet. Bye-bye. Again, our number 816-235-2888. Let's go to David from Independence. David, you're on Up Today. Good morning. You there, David? You know, I'm just wondering, you know, of all the different review sites that are out there, you know, Yelp and TripAdvisor, lots of other ones too, Angie's List, is there one that's better than another, Chris, that you've sort of determined after working with this all these years?
No, there really isn't. The, as you mentioned, there's like, the top three or four, but again, you get into different, each individual website then has their own review sites on them as well, and they allow reviews and so on and so on. But yeah, Yelp, Angie's List, TripAdvisor, some Google local places, it really goes back to the consumer and where is the consumer going to get their reviews and place their reviews.
You know, the shame in all this, it seems to me, is that, you know, so many folks are desperate for reputable information here they can trust on an array of possible services and goods. You know, our caller just mentioned restaurants, you know, car shops. You know, it seems to me the market for one that's reputable would be through the roof. But then, Chris, you throw out the idea that there could be a lawsuit thrown in if indeed companies begin to go after reviewers who write negative, nasty reviews of their work that may be untrue. And then how can you possibly ever get to that point where you have a good, reputable site if you can get sued for writing the truth?
Well, you don't get sued for writing the truth. You get sued for lying and saying things that aren't true about it, and you defame the company.
Of course, but you can also get sued if you write the truth and the shop doesn't like it and they sue you to prevent others from doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I think that the big ones, the Yelps, the Googles, the Angie's List, they've come a long way. And if you go to their websites and you look and you get ready to write a review, it's going to tell you, here's some good examples of reviews and how you should write your review. And I think the consumer needs to take heed to that as opposed to just blankly going out there and starting to write. I know they're angry and I know they want to write this scathing review, but the consumer needs to be aware. And I think the big three are trying to help the consumer be aware that, you know, just because you write it, there might be a consequence to what you write.
Yeah. John Shuba, at what point did you begin to think that you needed some help with all this, and what brought you to that point?
Well, the biggest thing was the fact that it's like a scattergun approach. I mean, there are at least 100 review sites out there, and it's almost impossible for one person to keep track of it all. So if you hire a company that scans those sites for you, then you'll get a summary each day of all the new reviews.
But what brought you to that point? What was it about? Were you just looking around thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm just getting overwhelmed here by all these different sites? Or what was going through your mind?
The thing that really made me think about it first is the fact that I started using reviews when I was going to look for a product or service. And when I saw that, when I saw the impact it had on my decision-making, I thought, well, gee, this can really fit into my business. It's interesting, though, and maybe this is a product of the kind of service we get, but I get very few negative reviews. Normally, if we have a problem, we know we have a problem before the customer leaves, and we attempt to fix it right then.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that's been a real concern for you and your industry at large because, you know, like home contractors, it seems to me, you know, car shops have a reputation that indeed many times probably isn't warranted, but the negative stuff sort of lingers, right? It's like newspaper reporters, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, my wife pointed out that she pays more attention to reviews when looking for a service that has a credibility problem, a plumber, a contractor, a mover.
Yeah.
That's when reviews become very, very important.
Yeah, I'm wondering, John, do you sometimes wish there was a review site where you could rate your customers? I'm told there is such a thing, but maybe who knows?
Sure, I think it's badcustomers.com.
Yeah. Is there? Yes, there is. There's several of them out there, and there's one out there.
Get out of here.
No, I'm serious. I think it's called badcustomer.com, and I've had several frustrated clients calling me wanting to create a badcustomers.com kind of a website, and I kind of tell them, you really don't want to be associated with that website as far as creating that website, because you're trying to do payback. But yes, it exists out there.
And the point is what? Car shop owners can scan that list and say you don't want
absolutely.
To take this customer stay away?
It's a subscription service. That's
no
right.
No kidding.
And other local, and it's a national company, but other people that have written about a particular customer, you can go in there and buy a subscription, and you can go in and search that customer and find out other business owners' experience with that customer. It absolutely exists.
And do you offer that service to your own clients, Chris?
No.
Not yet. No. Not yet. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But there's another one out there. You know, even the review sites have negative review sites dedicated just to them. There's one, I can't really read it on air. The name's a little risque, but Angie's List has a negative review site where people can go in and write negative reviews about Angie's List.
Yeah. I think it's ratemycustomers.com is what Steven Steigman's telling me here is the name of the website. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting conversation. I'm going to thank Chris Nostov, owner of KC Web Specialist, for coming in. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
So good to have you. John Shoup is the owner of SciTech Automotive. He has shops in Grandview and Raytown. John, nice to have you here, too.
It was great to be here.
You bet.